Gardens from the Summit Responsible Solutions Studios. If it's Saturday morning, you're here with us. Lizzie and Brooke are here. We're having a great gardening day. We're going to have even a better one. We're going to be visiting Peterson's Nursery today. I'll be doing a talk at 11:30 on garden myths, true or false. And I am looking forward to seeing everyone that stops by. So we can't wait to go. And they have a marvelous supply of plants. And he told me, Lizzie, how he texted and says he does have queen's wreath.
Ooh, at Peterson's. I'm excited.
So I wait till we see it. Yeah, it may be going home with somebody today. It might be me.
Yeah, me too, probably.
I'll hand wrestle you for it. Okay. And so let's, it's always Saturday morning in our second hour. We always hear from John Denver. Dirty word of the day is apropos for this weekend, daylight savings time. And it is photoperiodism. Photoperiodism, all one word. And it's this physiological reaction of organisms to the length of light or dark period. It occurs in plants and in animals. It could be defined as a developmental response of plants to the length of light and dark periods. So there's three classifications: short day plants, long day plants, and day neutral plants. Botanists used to think that the length of daylight was how a plant was exposed that would determine whether it would form flowers. But experiments and studies have proved otherwise. It's the length of darkness that a plant experiences that plays the most crucial role. A plant that requires a long period of darkness is termed a short day plant. Short day plants form flowers only when day length is less than 12 hours. Many spring and fall flowering plants are short day plants, including chrysanthemums, poinsettias, and Christmas cactus. If these are exposed to more than 12 hours of light per day, they will not form blooms and their bracts will not change color. Other plants require only a short night to flower. These are termed long day plants. These bloom only when they receive more than 12 hours of light. Many of our summer blooming flowers and garden vegetables are long day plants, such as asters, coneflowers, lettuce, spinach, and potatoes. These all bloom when the days are long during our summer. And some plants form flowers regardless of the day length. Yay! Botanists call these day neutral plants. And they are tomatoes and corn and cucumbers, and some strawberries are day neutral. Some plants, such as petunias, also defy categorization. They flower regardless of day length, but flower earlier and more profusely with long days. So the dirty word of the day is photoperiodism. So you can use it this weekend when you're talking about daylight savings time. And who do you think invented daylight savings time? I've always thought it was Benjamin Franklin, but it is not. It was talked about during the late 1800s, but it didn't begin to be practiced until 1918, so that they had the laws for it. It was repealed and reestablished several times over the decades, but daylight savings time finally stuck during World War I and World War II when it was adopted as an energy-saving tactic. The Uniform Time Act standardized the practice across most of the country, and so it's something that I do not look forward to. I do not like the changing back, springing ahead, losing an hour.
Mm-hmm.
I prefer fall back, and I just want it to stay the same all year round.
Yes, me too.
And so Benjamin Franklin did talk about it, and when he was over in France, but he did not develop it. So the dirty word of the day is photoperiodism. So I am enjoying that, and I am going to try and get some sleep. They said you should go to bed earlier and earlier for a couple of days before it happens, but I haven't had that luck. I do not have
Who has
luck.
Time to do that?
I know. Exactly, right? Exactly. And so if you'd like to give us a call, 1-888-455-2967. Or you can text us 23680 at the end of the hour. We've got a lot of text messages coming on, and we love having you do that. But we have Randy Schultz from Schultz Communications. We haven't talked to him in a while. And so I'm looking forward to talking to him, and he's going to give us some great information. We're going to discuss, insects and what we can do about them. And so this is the time of the year to do that. And Randy always comes through for us. So we're really excited to talk to him. If you missed any of today's show, you can go to betterlaws.com and you can download the show there. And you can hear it on iHeartRadio too as well, wherever you listen to podcasts. So that will be great. We're going to be doing our text messages and our phone calls after we talk to Randy. Coming up, stay tuned from the Summit Responsible Solutions Studios. It's Saturday morning. You're listening to Better Lawns and Gardens. I'm Teresa Watkins, and this is Florida's Talk and Entertainment Network. Welcome back to Better Lawns and Gardens. I'm Teresa Watkins. Randy Schultz is the owner of Schultz Communications. He's the editor of the award-winning Home, Garden, and Homestead website, which is always providing great information for gardeners and people who love DIY. Good morning, Randy. Thank you for joining me this morning.
Good morning, Teresa.
I will tell you, you have become a snowbird. Where have you and Patty gone to get away from that Colorado Rocky snow?
We are in Goodyear, Arizona, which is on the west side of Phoenix.
Wow. And what kind of weather are they having right now?
Believe it or not, we got a little rain on Thursday, but it's the weather's been in the low 70s. It really is, for somebody like me coming from Colorado, the low 70s feels like full-on spring. It's very nice.
It is. It's very nice. So this winter and spring has been an El Nino year. It's been warmer but wetter than normal. So how does El Nino affect mosquitoes in winter in those warmer seasons?
Well, mosquitoes thrive in warm, wet, humid environments. So if there's more rain, technically, there's going to be more mosquitoes.
And so, you know, to get rid of them, to kill mosquitoes, do you have to actually kill the adults? How does it work?
Well, there's two ways to kill mosquitoes, two different parts of their life cycle. And you need different tools to kill adult mosquitoes and the larva stage. Most mosquito spraying is all about targeting the adults. But if you want to kill mosquitoes before they're flying, biting adults, you have to kill them in the larva stage. And that's where something called BTI comes in, which is the active ingredient in mosquito bits and mosquito dunks. And that's a target-specific bacterium that kills mosquito larvae, but basically nothing else. It's harmless to other living things.
And so we talk about it being organic. And so, you know, we do have organic products that can, kill insects and kill the bad guys, the bad pests. But is it a safe product to use?
Oh, absolutely. According to the EPA, the United States EPA, BTI is harmless to all living things except for mosquito larvae and fungus gnat larvae.
Mm-hmm. And so it's actually derived from plants.
It's a bacterium that actually lives in the soil. It was discovered back in the 1980s as a natural bacterium, and now it's propagated, cultivated as it is, and it's turned out to be the leading biological mosquito control in the world.
Excellent. That is wonderful. And again, so it's not toxic to birds and pets and children. How does it work?
Well, it literally, mosquito larvae feed on it in the water. It's a substance that, because mosquito larvae live in the water, that's where you attack them, right? Mm-hmm. So you put some BTI either in a mosquito dunk or a mosquito bits, which is just a granular form of the same substance. You put that in water, and the larvae feed on the BTI, it kind of shuts down their digestive system, and they die before they can become adults.
Yay, mosquito bites. That's wonderful. Now, so in Florida and in areas that grow tropical plants, we have bromeliads, which are a wonderful landscape plant. But people are kind of afraid of them because they hold water and people don't want mosquitoes. Can we use mosquito bites with bromeliads?
Absolutely. Absolutely. And that bromeliads do have that little cup, as it were, that holds water. So if you take mosquito bits and just kind of sprinkle them into the bromeliads in your landscape, the mosquito bits will sit in that little water, and instead of becoming a mosquito factory for breeding little larvae, it kills them all off.
So how long does it last?
The bits release the BTI really quickly, almost immediately. And so every 7 days or so, if you're trying to combat mosquito larvae with mosquito bits, you need to refresh everything every 7 days.
Okay, that makes sense. So now natural borders and more wildlife-friendly habitats are a popular landscaping trend. I'm designing them everywhere. So how do you keep mosquitoes and insects from being a nuisance in the yard?
In the yard, you've pretty much have got to attack the adults. And you can use a permethrin spray, and that'll kill the flying, biting adult mosquitoes. Mosquitoes love to hang out in shrubs and bushes. So those natural landscape areas with the native plantings or any kind of shrub is that's a good place to spray once every 7 or 10 days with a spray that kills mosquito adults.
Okay. And so houseplants, let's go to that because you have products for that. They're popular with the generations. And so they think of their plants as children. What are some pest problems that they can have with houseplants?
Well, I mean, houseplants can be infested by a wide range of insects, scale, aphids, fungus gnats. One of the ways to kill insects on houseplants is to use a non-chemical spray. It's basically it's a horticultural oil like Summit year-round spray oil. You mix that up with water according to the directions on the package, and you spray your houseplants every 10 days or so, and that will... The active ingredient is the oil. It actually suffocates the flying insects and the scale and the other things. So you want to be pretty regular about when you see insects, you want to jump on that as quickly as possible and use a spray oil to try to kill those insects.
Okay, so where can people find Summit Responsible Solution products like mosquito bits and dunks?
They're virtually everywhere garden products are sold. Big box stores, hardware stores, they're on Amazon. You can go to the Summit website, summitresponsiblesolutions.com. You shouldn't have any trouble at all finding those products.
I will tell you, I was excited. I was on Home Garden and Homestead this week, and you're the editor, and it is an award-winning website. You had Martha Stewart featured on the front page. What did you cover with Martha?
Martha lives in Connecticut, and one of the clients I work with is Logies Plants, and they're also based in Connecticut. So Martha Stewart's favorite place to buy exotic tropical plants to use as houseplants is Logies. And she visited Byron and Laurelyn Martin, the two owners of Logies, and she always leaves with plants.
I know the feeling.
A great friend of Logies, and really a very knowledgeable plant person.
She is. I like watching her. She's also very, very funny. So your website also had stories from our favorite houseplant guru, Lisa Eldred Steinkopf, and a foraging expert that we know very well, Ellen Zakos. So what kind of stories can they find? Can people who go to your website find on Home Garden and Homestead?
Well, we literally try to write everything we can about gardening, homes, and larger properties, homesteads. One of our sections is called My Story, and we have garden experts talking about one thing they learned. You know, what have I learned about this or that? Very, very popular section of stories. So we really try to cover it all.
That is fun. That's wonderful. Okay, so tell people where they can get, again, mosquito bits and mosquito dunks and year-round oil spray. And then also your website again.
Well, for more information and to buy the Summit products, go to summitresponsiblesolutions.com and click around. There's great information there. You can also visit homegardenandhomestead.com. We've got several stories about how to kill insects indoors and outdoors.
That's great. Randy, so coming to Arizona, and what kind of landscaping are you seeing there?
You know, Arizona's the folks in Arizona are smart enough to know that they live in a desert. So you see very few lawns, very few. If it's a lawn, it's a warm season grass like St. Augustine, mm-hmm. but they are few and far between. So you see a lot of cacti. You see a lot of Palo Verde trees. You see things that are designed to grow in this environment, and which is really a wonderful thing. Plant according to your climate.
That is so true. It's very important. And as long as you have 70 degree temperatures, then you can, you know, enjoy the weather there.
It's a lovely time. Spring is a lovely time. Ask any gardener.
All right there. Thank you so much, Randy. I've missed talking with you. Tell Patty we said hello.
Thank you. Have a great day.
You too, hon. Bye-bye. That's Randy Schultz. He is owner of Schultz Communications and such a nice gentleman. And he's got such a great resource on Home Garden and Homestead. Check it out. I love Logies. And you spell Logies. Logee's, Logee's Nursery, and they have wonderful, wonderful tropical plants that you can order that you may not be able to find here in the regular nurseries and stores.
Exactly, definitely. That's a site I want to go check out for sure.
Yeah, it is great. And so we're going to get back with your questions. Got a lot of text messages, 1-888-455-2967. If you have a gardening question, we would love to hear it. If you'd like to text us 23680, it's still early in the morning for us. We've got a long day ahead of us. Yes. We're going to be out at Peterson's Nursery today at 11:30. I'm going to be doing a talk on garden myths, true or false. And you're just going to go check out the plants, you and Brooke, today.
Yeah, while you're distracted, I'm going to go buy that vine so you can't have it.
Check it out. That's a Petria volubilis queen's wreath. It's wonderful. From the Summit Responsible Solutions Studios, it's Saturday morning. You're listening to Better Lawns and Gardens. I'm Teresa Watkins, and this is Florida's Talk and Entertainment Network. Welcome back to Better Lawns and Gardens. I'm Teresa Watkins. If you'd like to give me a call, 1-888-455-2967, or you can text at 23680. If you missed any of today's show, you can go back to the iHeart website, and you just click on Better Lawns and Gardens, or you can go to betterlawns.com and download it, and you can get it right away or anywhere where you listen to podcasts. Let's go to Jerry in Port St. Lucie. Good morning, Jerry. How are you?
Good. How are you?
I am great.
I love your show. I called you late fall last year about my Royal Poinsettia tree, and uh-huh. you told me when to trim it, and we did about 2 weeks ago.
Excellent.
Now I want to know when to fertilize it.
Okay, so right now you're in South Florida there, Port St. Lucie. You can go ahead and fertilize it now. So is it in your yard?
Yes.
Okay, how tall is it?
I'd say about nine feet.
Okay.
It lost a lot of leaves during the winter, though.
You're right, and so we did have a couple of cold snaps where it would, and it usually is deciduous too. So you will lose the leaves in the winter time, especially if you do get if the cold gets down there, you know, that far. And so if you fertilize your lawn, that should take care of your Royal Poinciana. Okay, so I don't necessarily know whether it needs more or not. You can always use just a regular blooming fertilizer or a 666-888-1010 on it.
I'm sorry, could you say that again?
Okay, so you can always use a blooming fertilizer on it or a slow release that product that you get. You could also use 666-888 or 101010 on it. But if you fertilize your lawn, that should be your tree is going to get enough fertilizer from that.
Okay. I sort of like to treat this tree special, though, because I love it so much.
Right. Well, so here's the thing, though, is I don't want you to over-fertilize it. So make sure that when you're fertilizing your turf that you stay probably about 10 feet or so away from the tree if it's 9 foot tall, 10 to 12 feet away. And then just put on a fertilizer. You can use a blooming fertilizer or a product that is just a 666-888-1010. Because you just want a regular balanced fertilizer because you have the roots to think about, which is important for a new tree. It's also growing leaves and it has flowers. So using a regular complete fertilizer on it will be just fine. You don't need anything special.
Okay, but a slow release is best.
Slow release is best because just like a vitamin, we don't know when our body needs the nutrients. And it's the same thing with plants. And so, you know, we take a one-a-day vitamin so that the vitamins are always there within our body when we need it. And then we leach out what we don't need. And it's the same with plants. So you put a slow release on it. It will be there when the plant needs it. And, you know, it'll thrive.
Okay. Well, I thank you very much.
Thank you for listening, Jerry. Say hi to all the good folks in Port St. Lucie. I have a number of friends down there.
Okay.
All right, hon. Take care. Bye-bye. All right, let's get to our text messages. But if you have a phone call, this is the time to do it. 1-888-455-2967. Or you can text me 23680. So let's go down the list. We've got a lot of them. Thank you so much. Eileen, thank you. Yes, you can go ahead and pressure wash your house. I think it'll be just fine. Don't worry about that. And Eileen was the one who is wanting to know when the pollen season's over. And we'll get some rain. That'll be good. That'll tamp it down a lot. So in Sue and Ken in Winter Haven, they have a Tibuchina question. They planted a Tibuchina from a nursery 2 years ago. It has frequent leaf browning and loss. It bloomed a month or so ago. New growth is evident, but it's still losing mature growth. 10 days ago, they added some acidic fertilizer. Is there more we can do to promote the health of this tree? All right, so Tibuchina can be a shrub or a tree. It is tropical. And I will tell you, it just needs to have regular watering. So if we're not getting that rainfall, and again, spring is our dry time of the year, then you're going to see that the leaves are turning brown and maybe just not as much growth. But it's also putting down roots, and when it stresses out, it will lose its leaves. So I would say make sure you're consistently watering it if no rainfall. That means, you know, about an inch and a half. You don't need to put a lot on it. You just need to be consistent with it once a week. Twice a week now with the daylight savings time, you can go ahead and put the twice a week watering on it. And then the fertilizer is fine. Make sure that you're fertilizing or you're watering before you fertilize and that you water afterwards as well. And so if you do that, it's going to grow. I don't know. Let's see. You don't say how tall it is, but I think that's the most important thing is to make sure that it's getting the consistent watering, and then you'll see it grow. Once the rainy season kicks in, it'll be just fine. Okay, great question. Thank you so much for listening, Sue and Ken. And so let's see. I'm going to go up. I see. Can I use 30% vinegar to kill weeds and bahia lawns now? Yes, you can. Vinegar is an organic herbicide. But here's the problem. I don't want you to kill your lawn. And so, you know, lawns are plants too. And if you use the vinegar in an area, you're going to see the grass around that area die as well. So be very specific when you put the vinegar down on it. Try not to get it on the bahia grass, and it will be just fine. If you have bahia grass, you can go ahead and reseed now. Getting your lawn as thick as possible is going to be the best way to prevent weeds and bahia grass. And so just make sure it's getting water once a week, and then you want to fertilize in a couple of weeks. So in April, you'll want to fertilize it. So, yes, you can go ahead and, kill the weeds in it. Just be careful of your grass, okay? Anything that's organic will kill your lawn, too, as well. So you want to make sure you're reading the instructions. More is not better, okay? Just because it says use a little bit, and you say, well, I've got a lot of weeds here. I'm just going to put a little bit more on.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to damage the grass, yes, too, as well.
Don't be the typical American. Don't overdo it.
There you go. And so we had someone call text about the lychee tree and that they wanted to spray the pollinators. Yes. So again, what I stated was that you want to make sure that if there's any leaf damage, you want to find the insect doing that. Just because it's a wasp doesn't mean it's a bad insect. You don't need to spray. From the Summit Responsible Solutions Studios, it's Saturday morning. You're listening to Better Lawns and Gardens. I'm Teresa Watkins, and this is Florida's Talk and Entertainment Network. Welcome back to Better Lawns and Gardens. I'm Teresa Watkins, and if you would like to know more information about me, you can go to my website, which is she-consulting.com, she-consulting.com, and it's called Sustainable Horticultural Environments, and you can go and see some of my designs and my landscapes. You can also find me on various websites, but you can also go to betterlawns.com, too, as well. And we love you checking in with us, and you can send us an email there anytime. Let's go to Bill in Orlando. Good morning, Bill. How can I help you?
Good morning, Teresa. Happy Saturday.
Thank you so much.
I got a question for you. You know, going to one of the big box stores, we got one of those dwarf or table azaleas, which look so beautiful. And do they just die off? Because right now I got some new growth on it, mm-hmm. In the past, it seems like they don't have a long life.
Have a long life. They're really strictly like a floral azalea, and, they grow them, and, you'll see them at Mother's Day and at Easter time, and so they're not really the ones that get really big and can develop a good root system. So, I don't really recommend them. We have some beautiful azaleas that get really tall. But if you want shorter ones, we have the good Encore azaleas and the Autumn Series azaleas with Encore that are really nice. And they only get to be about 2 to 3 feet tall. So those are the ones I recommend.
Yeah, I didn't think they last long in the past. But they are beautiful, and they're so compact.
They are, and they really are compact. Now, the other thing is, you just, because when you look at the soil in those little pots, it's a lot different than what you will find in the ground. And so they really aren't meant to stay in those pots a long time. So I would actually upsize them into a different pot with a little bit more acidic fertilizer. Acidic soil. Get the pH down there around 4.5, 5.5. And you can water them and just keep them in a pot. But I would take them out of the pot that they come in.
Yeah, did that upsize it. So we'll see what happens. I didn't check the pH on it, though.
Yeah, check the pH. You want it to be very acidic, and then use acidic fertilizer with it, following the label instructions. You don't want to do it too much if it's in a pot. Make sure it has good drainage, and just keep it on your patio or your pool area, your front door area. I don't think they'll do well inside here. So,
Gotcha. One other quick question.
Sure.
In the past, you know, impatiens used to be just flush with blooms. It seems over the years, there's just less and less. It doesn't have the color that it has in the past. Has there been a change or the variety that you see?
Yes.
That produces?
Yes. So about 10 years ago, we had a disease go through, and it kind of wiped out. It was a fungal issue, and it wiped out the azaleas. They were very susceptible to it. So you really saw regular impatiens just leaving the market. Growers weren't growing them because the disease was so bad. But now they've come back. They've got different varieties that are less susceptible to disease. And I think they do bloom just as much. You just got to fertilize them and give them, you know, what they need as far as sunlight goes, and then water, too, as well. I think they look just as beautiful. But we did have a time period there where we didn't have impatiens on the market. The New Guineas were not susceptible to the same disease, which is very interesting. But New Guinea impatiens I like better than regular impatiens. I think they just bloom longer. They can take more sun, and they're sturdier impatient.
Well, I do remember that period that you're talking about because I was in California, and I brought back, I hand-carried them on the plane, some impatiens, because we didn't have them here.
Uh-huh. Yeah, because we couldn't get them. The growers just would not grow them because the disease was just wiping them out. So they did develop, right, you know, different strains that are less susceptible to fungal issues. And, you know, I just was looking at impatiens this week, and they had a lot of blooms on them. So it just may be that we just need to, you know, keep them cut. You know, once they've finished blooming, they kind of get that second layer. They get really tall and leggy. Then we go ahead and cut them back again. So I would just try that, or just try New Guinea impatiens, and they do really well.
Good deal. Thanks so much, and you have a great day, and thank you for all you do.
Thank you, Bill. I appreciate your call. I love Bill when he calls. He's just wonderful.
Oh, I love his description. I've never heard anybody call azaleas compact, but holy cheese and crackers, is he on point. Never even thought of that word.
Yes, yes.
100%.
You see them in the grocery store. They sell them, and they're in the vegetable section. And, you know, they'll last, you know, 6 months or so, but usually it's kind of the same with the little roses, miniature cup roses.
Right.
You got to get them out of that soil and just give them something they can dig into.
Right.
So they're compact so that they're not heavy to ship. So they use, you know, different types of soil.
Learn something today. Thank you.
You're welcome.
I can go home now. Bye.
There you go. Susan from Vieira says, can you let us know the name or number for a pre-emergent or pre-emergent that's not toxic to birds and fish? Okay, so Susan, great question. So let me try and explain. So that these products that have chemicals in them to prevent the weeds from growing are not the same chemicals that will hurt pets and wildlife and things like that. They're different. They're different products entirely. And so while they, you know, they're not good for them if they eat them, that's kind of ridiculous, but you don't want to put your pets out where they can get it and start to eat it. But they're not really that harmful to pets and wildlife and birds. They're just not the same. They don't have the same reactions to toxicity. When we see that these chemicals are toxic to fish and birds and wildlife, it's usually the other ingredients in the product that they use to stick or hold on to, or to hold the chemical, that is the problem. So when you're looking for a pre-emergent or a fertilizer that's, you know, not toxic to birds and wildlife, go for the organic and read the label. And it's all about the amount and how long it lasts in the environment. And organic usually doesn't last as long. And so you have to use it more often more often than regular synthetic fertilizers or pre-emergents and herbicides. So just when we follow the instructions on the label and only use as necessary, because some of these products, it tells you can only use it twice a year, and people are using them every month. That's where we get the problem. And so follow the label instructions and you'll be fine. It will tell you what how it will react with wildlife, And if it's not safe, they won't put it on the market. So just always follow the label and we'll be good. Is there a weeded feed for Bermuda pasture grass? Yes, there is. There's a number of them on the market. They don't advertise with me, so I kind of just don't want to spit names out there.
Right.
Just go to the box stores, go to your nursery, and, you know, say, I need a pre-emergent for this. Read the labels. It will say Bermuda grass on there, and it will be good. There are several out there that you can use on Bermuda grass, so always just follow that. So I appreciate that. So I wanted to say thank you to Brooke Moffis for calling in and talking to us about the exploding oxalis. Why do you have wood sorrel all over your yard? Because you're touching it.
Because you're breathing near it.
So I'm going to put a video on Better Lawns and Gardens today to go ahead. And it'll be after my talk today. So it'll be a little bit later on this afternoon because we're heading down to Peterson's Nursery for that talk at 11:30, Garden Myths, True or False. And so I will post it today, that video of the oxalis exploding its seeds, and it just shoots it right out. And it's just really fascinating. And then also some other things, we'll have links to the show where you can download it. We love doing that. A big thank you to Randy Schultz with Home Garden and Homestead.
Yes.
And it's a great website. And he is spokesperson for Summit Responsible Solutions Studios, which is a sponsor of our show. And why? Because they're a great product. And I'm really proud that they're here on the show.
Yeah, even though they're our sponsor, I have never gotten a discount, which I'm not asking for one, but I just wanted to give my testimony of I used it this last year, and we had a major mosquito problem on our 2.5 acres, so I used it on like 1 acre. And let me tell you what, I noticed a huge decrease in mosquitoes. It was crazy. I'm like, there's no way that there's a product out there that's that safe for our dogs and animals. And sure enough, it works.
It is. It's a great product. We just love our sponsorship. You can go in, and I'm going to post the picture. I do have a picture of nuns on Better Lawns and Gardens. And so I will post the nuns orchid. You got to see this. It is a great plant for your garden. So I love it. It's blooming right now. And the queen's wreath is blooming right now. So many great plants we can grow here in Florida.
Gorgeous.
And so I am very excited to live here. And garden here. I have 2 spots left on my Ireland tour, 50 Shades of Green, and you're welcome to come with me, and we'll just have fun just going through Ireland. You know, what can we do in Ireland? You know, so many different things.
Oh yeah, and like never come back home, maybe? I don't know. It just seems like it's pretty gorgeous, never been there. So how do they find out how they can purchase and their
tickets?
Yep.
You can reserve seating, or you reserve your place, artinbloomgardentours.com. And I'm looking forward to going. It'll be a great time of the year in July. We'll go to a nice, cool country, cool green, Emerald Isle. From the Summit Responsible Solutions Studios, if it's Saturday morning, you're listening to Better Lawns and Gardens. I'm Teresa Watkins, and this is Florida's Talk and Entertainment Network. Thank you, Lizzie.